Man can form things in his thoughts, and by impressing his thought upon formless substance can cause the thing he thinks about to be created. In order to do this, man must pass from the competitive to the creative mind. He must form a clear mental picture of the things he wants and hold this picture in his thoughts with fixed purpose to get what he wants and with unwavering faith that he does get what he wants. Closing his mind against all that may tend to shake his purpose, dim his vision, or quench his faith. That reading is from The Science of Getting Rich, the back of chapter 10. In order to do this, man must pass from the competitive to the creative mind. Meaning you're not in competition. Now, some people teach this. Some people derive, energy or power knowing that they're competing with other people and they got to outwit the other guy and they got to make theirs look better. And it can work. I get that that can help some people. But the book written in 1905 by Wallace Wattles called The Science of Getting Rich teaches a different way of living. That we're all somewhat connected, that we all share in this universal life, this, some people call it God force. And some people need it to be a little more substance. They pick a religion. They're Catholic, they're Muslim, they're Mormon, they're whatever, Pentecostal. And then some people a little more esoteric, and they believe in this idea of the universal mind is another phrase for it, or the God force. And they, quote, are spiritual but not religious. But it's all people trying to get to the same place, trying to explain why it is the things the way they are around us. And it, maybe there's somehow, because we all feel within inside of us there's something bigger, that we're connected to something bigger, and that somehow everything is important and has meaning. Because this idea of just floating on a ball, wandering through space in the universe, and nothing fucking matters, it's just too much to bear. That we're here alone. The Science of Getting Rich teaches this idea of holding things, holding thoughts in formless substance. But he says in there, in that little phrase, with fixed purpose. So the thought that you're holding in your mind is not a wandering thought. It doesn't change from week to week. I think I'm going to be a Forex trader. I think I'm going to start a home-based business. Oh, wait, no, now I want to do real estate. Oh, maybe I'll do some of this and a little bit of this. And it changes every 90 days. There's something new that has your interest. That's not operating in the creative mind. That's being scattered. Your power and your energy spread out in too many different directions. There is no actual purpose. We need to ask ourselves, what is the end goal? What is the end goal? And then begin to work backwards. Because as you start with the end in mind, what is it you're actually trying to accomplish? And get as specific as possible. If it's in the money game, I'm not just saving for retirement. However much I have when I get there is how much I have. Okay. But that's, again, scattered. It's not an actual goal. There's not actually, you're just throwing money into something that you don't understand and you don't get. I don't understand the fees. I don't even know what they're invested in. I have no freaking clue who runs the fund. And I just throw money in it because people tell me I should. I hear that all the time. And I say, okay, well, I get that. You have this money in this 401k. What is it invested in? Oh, well, I got 20% in this. And it's all nonsense. Why would you? You don't need all that. Just put it in the S&P 500. Pile it in. At least now we have a freaking goal. We have a mission. At least now we have some sort of control. We don't have some unknown strangers teaching you some unknown formula that's best for you. How do they know what's best for you? They don't even know what your end goal is. The end goal you're following when you do that, when you let human resources decide how you're going to invest your money, that end goal is not your end goal. You didn't pick that. Someone else arbitrarily picked that for you. 65. I'll retire when the hell I want to retire. 65. And people are in this structure, in this system, and they're forced to follow it. And other people decide for them when they are laid off, when they get to retire, how much their disability is. Other people control every area of their life, and they have to somehow live their life within this little construct that other people created for them. I said no to that. I said no to that. I said no to that a long time ago. And so we wander around. What's the purpose? I was talking to a kid the other day, the assistant manager at the tire place, Discount Tire. You got 401k? Yeah, but he's not really doing that right now. Why? Like if you ask people pointed questions when it comes to their finance, you begin to see the dance, a little tiptoe. What that means, they don't have any clue. They're clueless. There's so much information, so many things that they just don't do anything. They don't even understand it. Or they think it's good because the lady at Human Resources said it was good. Or they want to believe that it's good. Put more effort into picking out clothes than their funds. That's real, man. People do that for real. Now, some of you may be listening, you're finance nerds, probably the only reason you'd listen to me, you was like, what? It's real. This college loan fiasco that our country's involved in, and our idiot congressional representatives that run our government with the guaranteed student loans have basically enslaved an entire generation. We're giving 18-year-olds who have no wisdom, no education, don't know what they want to do, have no idea. They're children. You're teenagers. You don't know shit. You know nothing. You think you know some things, but the things you think you know, you only learned recently. And we're putting on them burdens of debt. They don't understand the compounding power in reverse of debt. It looks just like the compound chart, but the opposite direction. And in order to help people, we've enslaved them. We've drove up the cost. And more than the government, I blame the parents. How does a parent not realize the destructive power of this debt? And they do the same thing that people do with their, oh, well, you know, they told me to do a 70. Why? Like, question it. Why are we doing things this way? Why is this happening? When your baby was born, did it not occur to you that in 18 years, this child will be looking at some significant cost if he wants to educate himself? Every parent in America knows this. And yet, I don't see anyone holding the parents accountable for the freaking disaster that we've created in America. It's your parents' fault, period. Period. In order to gain personal power, we have to accept personal responsibility. It's the only way to gain power. The only way to get control of your life is to take full responsibility for it. Didn't say it was your fault, but you take control. It's the only way. Those people who are the most responsible accumulate the most wealth, period. The homeless man is responsible for little and has nothing. Donald Trump is responsible for a lot, has a lot. The decisions you make and the responsibilities you take. And so people are having babies and it never occurs to them, wow, let's start with the end in mind. How much money do we think our kid's going to need for college? Let's say $40,000, and the kid can make up the difference through working. Well, let's back that out. We have 18 years. How much would we have to put in if we got a 10% interest rate? Wow, not that much. Price of a pizza. Price of going to dinner, and this is not a problem. So we don't suffer from a lack of education. We got more education than we know. We have more information than you need to know. You don't need another book or another course or another guru or another mentorship. You know all you need to know. You're not even using what you know now. Stop seeking information and start applying what you've learned. That's it. This is what I began to tell myself. Gerald, you don't need another book. Write a book. Gerald, you don't need to take another course. Create a course. Tap into the creative mind. I'm not in competition with that person. And so we have a lot of experts and governments and parents and bosses and community leaders and religious leaders and gurus in the marketplace trying to tell you what is good for you and the path that you should follow. How the hell are they going to tell you that when you don't even know your path? You don't know what the end looks like. And the same creative God force that's in them is in you. And they tap into the exact same formless substance that you do. And this is how we're all connected, through the universal mind. You don't get rich on accident. You get rich by doing things in a certain way. In a certain way. And it has nothing to do with age or race or sex or any of that other stuff. Because if you're a smart woman who's killing it and making a lot of money and you don't invest, you're going to arrive at the same location to a dipshit man who doesn't invest and doesn't make much money. You're both going to arrive in the same place. Nowhere. So it doesn't matter how much money you make, it's the creative process. You don't need to make any money to open a brokerage account. Oh, now I got a brokerage account. I can access up to 9,000 products that I can invest in. All these different hundreds and hundreds of things that I could do to invest in to create passive income, but you don't actually have the account. And then over here, you're saying you want to build a business. You want to do this. You want to do that. You don't even have a brokerage account. And this is how I began to talk to myself. To hold myself accountable. That the words match my actions. You say, Gerald, I don't have any money to put in it. I didn't say you needed money to put in it. But you need to have it. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. Well, last time I checked, you need to have it to give it, right? And that's the whole point of the parable that I use all of the time. God gave one person one talent and the other five talents and 10 talents. And I often don't finish the parable, but in the parable, God comes back. And he goes to the one guy and says, hey, I gave you a talent. What did you do with it? And the guy who got one, see, this is the poor. It represents poor. You've heard the phrase that those who have will be given more and those who have not, even what they have will be taken. See, what does that mean? Why would you take from the guy who doesn't have? Because the opportunity to have more was right there, and he chose not to take it. And he used the fact that he didn't have anything as the excuse. Even God understands. Even God, the universe, does not reward people who don't deserve it, period. The universe doesn't give a shit about entitlement. It doesn't care about your race or your sex or any other ism you may have. Did you do what you're supposed to do? It's all it cares about. You don't have passive income because you don't invest for passive income, period. Now you say, well, I don't have the money. You can do it for 20 bucks, dude. You say, well, 20 bucks ain't going to produce nothing, but it's more than you got now. It's the start. It's the beginning. It's finally taking some action that backs your mouth. And so you take a self-assessment. How do I look? How do I speak to people? Am I just driving around listening to dipshit music and not seeing any opportunities around me? Or do I notice the opportunities? Storage building, public storage. That's a REIT. That REIT pays cash flow. What about Kroger's? Maybe I'd invest in Kroger. Oh, look at the Exxon. Oh, I'm at McDonald's. See what I'm saying? And I call that the money flow about 10, 11 different times in my life just because I was in the right place at the right time with the right mind, on purpose, with faith, just like we read, because I'm in the money flow. Right now, all around you, through emails, texts, wire transfers, bank transfers, checkings, credit card transactions, bazillions, trillions of dollars are transferring all around this world. And you were born in the most prosperous time in human history. It's never been easier. If you're a woman, it has never been easier to be a woman in ever in all of human history. What other excuse do you got? You're a 24-year-old woman working a job. It has never been easier for women ever in the history of the world, and you don't have a brokerage account. Or you do, but you don't remember the last time you put any money in. Now, we'll go broke buying cars. But we ain't got time to get a loan for an asset that produces income. See, that's a mind shift. You have to go from the competitive plane to the creative plane. Real estate's not a competition for me. Because whenever I need a house, guess what appears? A house. Every time I've ever gotten the down payment, guess what happened? A realtor sold me a house. Every time I wanted a car, I walked on the lot, they sold me one. Because what you think about comes about, and what you focus on grows. You want a rental property? Go look at rental properties. That's it. I just gave you the whole fucking clue, the whole thing. Just gave you the keys to the kingdom. First, you do. That's it. But people are waiting on something. Oh, as soon as I get this straight, I'm going to do that. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because you don't need that straight to start the process. You don't need money to look at a house. They don't know you don't have money. You don't need money to talk to the banker. Right? The things that you're waiting on are nonsense, excuses. And my favorite of all time, as soon as I get my tax return. What? Why would you be waiting on the government to do things to improve your situation? And so, we have to have extreme ownership of ourselves. Of ourselves. You kick your ass. You don't need any more information. You're not doing everything with everything you know now. More information, more courses, more classes, more gurus is just your excuse not to do what you know you need to do. So what do we do? What do we do? Do we give up? Or should we take extreme responsibility for our decisions and begin today to begin making the necessary changes? I truly believe that anyone who has modest intelligence and a positive attitude can become financially independent in 7 to 10 years if he's willing to put in the work. To begin the process, to begin the practicing, it doesn't cost you anything to begin to set up the system. You need a system that you build wealth in. My book, chapter one, I would call it the money flow. You need to get the bucket set up. You need to get the savings. And the savings, I mean physical freaking cash that no one can get access to in a safe, in a bank. It's the do-over account, call it. Then you need to get, if real estate's in your game, you need to get that tight, which means 700 credit score, down payments. You got to get your shit clean. You need to begin eliminating debt and you then begin the process of starting investments. If you have a ton of debt, do a little investing, 5-10%, but you got to get rid of the debts. It does you no good to spit in one hand and drop something in the other. It doesn't get you anywhere. A dollar invested, when you owe a dollar, you're still broke. I would rather have no debt and have zero money than $100,000 here and $100,000 in debt if it's consumer debt, because you can't keep up with it. Now, real estate debt, different conversation. I'll take all you'll give me. But I'm talking about dumb shit. Dumb things. You got to move past it. You've got to begin to develop the process. You got to get the account set up. If you have one checking account, you're not even playing the game, man. You're not even in the game. Wealth cannot come to you because you don't even have the buckets to put it in. This is why lottery winners lose all their money. First, accept the fact that you're solely and completely responsible for your current financial situation. Before you act defensively, listen to what I said. I didn't say it was your fault. I didn't say you caused it. I said you were responsible for it, and that's what gives you the personal power. Number two, set realistic expectations. No more Bitcoin, no more none of this bullshit, home runs. You begin to invest in real things, paying real passive cash flow. We're shooting for 10%. 10 to 12% is a high rate of return. If you can get a 10% return, you'll be doubling your money every 7.5 years. If you can get to 12, you'll be doubling it every 3. I often get 20 and 30%, allowing me to double it in 3 years. Warren Buffett is the most successful investor of our time, and he's averaged 19.8%. So when people are showing you higher than that, I want you to understand they're pitching you deals that are probably bullshit. Now, it's not as hard to get it yourself. You control the real estate, you control the property, you're in control of the process. You can get those kind of higher returns. But if people are having to pitch you on their investment, it's probably not something you should be investing in. You're not an angel investor. Don't do it. You're not on fucking Shark Tank. You're not a shark. You need to be investing in real things right now. Real things. With realistic expectations of return, because you've got to begin developing this pattern. Now, as we make money, as we get ahead, as we eliminate consumer debt, we could maybe do a little bit of angel investing, but not until you get your shit together. Third thing, we must understand how the rich build and create wealth. The public today has been deceived on this important point by reading stories of internet entrepreneurs and real estate investing gurus who invested or had a single business idea and they exploded it into massive amounts of money and billion-dollar bonanza. These are great and they're inspiring stories, but they're not normal. For every person who got rich like this, there were 999 that blew out, who went broke doing the same thing. I'm not diminishing these guys. I'm not saying don't follow the Grant Cardones or the Gary V's, but you need to understand they're very few and far between. They were brilliant, they were shrewd, but they were also lucky. Using them as models as a kid in the ghetto, deciding he's going to be Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan unless they have extreme talent is doing them a disfavor. You need to become real with yourself. If you don't have a clear idea about how to become wealthy, you must read my book, You Don't Have to Die Broke, and start at chapter 1. And if you can't get chapter 1 right, there is no point in reading forward. If you don't get the system set up right, if you don't get the accounts right, if you don't have the means in which to take wealth and begin to deploy it, you shouldn't even be thinking about investing. You got to get that stuff straight first. Take action. Stop letting other people decide what you invest in, how you invest, and what that looks like. Take control.